I am here with Mr. Hatley Mason, owner of Mermaid Books in Williamsburg, Virginia. So can you tell me a little about yourself?
Sure. That's kind of a big question right there. Well, I was born in Richmond, Virginia. My grandmother was a historian, writer, and she works on the restoration of Colonial Williamsburg. And she kind of inspired me to be interested in history. And even as a teenager, she actually hired me to do research. So it kind of, and then we've spent a lot of our summers here in Williamsburg, but over in Gloucester County also.
Oh, very nice.
But, and I had a lot of my relatives lived here until a few years ago. Most of them passed away.
That's interesting. So how long have you owned Mermaid Books?
I've owned Mermaid Books for 7 years. Well, I bought it in June 2009.
Okay.
So.
Do you know what it was before?
It was always a bookstore. It was started in 1976, 77 by Mary Lewis Chapman, who is an old-time Williamsburg resident. Mm-hmm. She still works here on Tuesdays, she and her husband. And they started the bookhouse, which was behind Aromas.
Okay.
It's a little house. And she wanted a place for good used books. There were four bookstores going around that time. There was the Book Press, which is still around. But it's changed a lot. Anyway, that's a very collectible bookstore. They sell to museums and libraries.
Very high-end
type of books. And then at the same time, there was Scribner's, which there were only two Scribner's bookstores. There was one in Manhattan, and there was one in Williamsburg, in the whole U.S. and the whole
world.
Wow,
that's awesome.
And Scribner's is a very big publisher, you know, even today. But and then there was Brentano's I guess that was it. And then Barnes & Noble, of course, opened. Barnes & Noble opened maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
The one
at the bookstore?
Yeah, they got the William & Mary account.
Gotcha. Very interesting. So is it always named Mermaid Books, or did you change
it?
Well,
she called it Bookhouse, and then she sold it to a William & Mary alum named Orice Eaton. And Orice had worked for her and everything. But anyways, when they sold it, Orice changed the name to Mermaid. Because there's an Emily Dickinson poem about, she says, I started early, took my dog for a walk on the beach, and, or by the sea, the mermaids in the basement came out to greet me, looked at me, or something like that.
Oh, it's very interesting.
So it's like mermaids live in the basement.
Yeah. I like it. It's like very different from any other bookstore like I've ever heard. Like normally that's like some like corny book name.
Yeah.
But I like how it's Mermaid Books and like how there's mermaids
everywhere. Yeah, I was going to use corny book name, but you know, it was already taken.
Mermaid Books is more interesting. So do you like having the bookstore in Colonial Williamsburg? Like, do you think it's a good location for it because of all the history around here?
Well, yeah. It's funny because when I first got here, Orice was going to close.
Okay.
That was 2008, was really hard on retail stores. And it was even hard on Colonial Williamsburg, from what I understand. And so 2009, she was looking for somebody to buy it. she was going to close. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to come down here in April, which was the off season for me. I usually came in the summer, but I was down here. And I walked in, and there were all these signs about closing. And she said, "Yeah, I'm going to close." And I said, "Oh, you can't close. You know, this is such a great store, and we need bookstores. And you know, you can't do that." And at the time, I was working at the newspaper in Richmond, and I had no idea about retail or never done anything. I never even worked really in a store. But anyway, she said, "Well, if you don't want it to close, why don't you buy it?" You know, kind of challenge.
Yeah.
And just as she was, as we were talking, there was this little, I mean, there was a young William and Mary student who peeked out from the back of the store and said, "If you buy it, I'll work for you for free."
That's so awesome.
Yeah, so it's just like, yikes, that really, you know, kind of hits you right there.
Yeah.
I mean.
Show like how the kids like appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then, so when she had it, it was kind of a quirky place. Had a lot of, she had a lot of antique little things and knickknacks. What you might call tchotchkes, little things. And it was kind of crowded. And so I kind of... And her... She had some really good literature, but there's a lot of mysteries and a lot of, like, you know, that kind of thing. And I kind of shifted a little bit and wanted to do more with like early 20th century literature, you know, like, and especially like the Beats and some of the more kind of harder to find books. And I sort of, you know, because I think the college is such a great audience, you know, and they need things that are a little more provocative and not just the mainstream.
Exactly. Yeah, I understand that.
But we have I'd say a third of our business is visitors from all over the world.
Whoa, you know, that's incredible.
You know, that I'm saying to Colonial Williamsburg, but they come in there.
Yeah,
they come in the store.
That's awesome. So what kind of book is your bestseller, do you think?
That's a good question. We sell a whole lot of children's books, but and we sell a whole lot of history books to people that are, you know, kind of focused on that.
Yeah.
But I'd say, you know, just sales-wise, the classics like Jane Austen, Edgar Allan Poe, you know, those are, a lot of people want those, but they also, also, like I say, the modern, modern authors like Fitzgerald, Hemingway, Bob.
Okay. Now, do you have like a favorite genre that you like to read a lot?
Yeah, I'd say mine is the, like the early 20th century. I mean, I think Southern literature is really important. And, I mean, when I first came here, I saw the store as, I saw trying to revive or trying to be a vintage Colonial Williamsburg store.
Yeah.
You know, like having the old guidebooks, the old things that they... people used to think of with Williamsburg, the brass trivets, Virginia metal crafters, the salt glaze pottery, you know, those sort of things. But there's not much interest in those anymore, you know, so I had to kind of...
Yeah. I know from my history class, we had to read The Young Man's Guide, mm-hmm. about marriage and everything. And I found that very interesting. Yeah. And it's cool that you guys have things like that here. Because yeah. it ties into my history class. Actually had to do a project on that 1 week. So what is your best memory about books?
Best memory about books? Yikes. I don't know. I think books are... books can really change people's lives.
Yeah.
And at times they've been my best friends, mm-hmm. you know. And a lot of times you kind of model yourself after characters in books. And there's a lot of insight. When I was in my 20s, I read a lot of philosophy and a lot of, a lot of poetry.
Okay.
It's hard to say what's favorite.
Yeah.
There's
so many.
Yeah.
If you could only read one book for the rest of your life, what would it be? Tough one.
Yeah, that is a tough one.
I really like To Kill a Mockingbird. That was probably behind.
Yeah, that's a great book. That is a great book. I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that.
Okay. Do you believe that, bookstores are going out of style and that, do you think they shouldn't be? Do you think they should, stay? Because there's a certain, there's something about going into a bookstore that's special uh-huh. and being able to look at everything.
Yeah, well, I think it's a culture, mm-hmm. the bookstores are a culture, and I think, they're very similar to, cafes.
Yeah.
In Paris in the 20s, in the 30s, that was the classic time,
mm-hmm.
A good example is there was a bookstore, Shakespeare and Company, that was started by Sylvia Beach.
Okay.
And she was friends with Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas. And then later she was really close with Ernest Hemingway, mm-hmm. let him sleep yeah. in the cot in the
oh,
store.
Wow.
And, and then she helped James Joyce publish Ulysses because it was banned in the UK. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, he couldn't even bring the book in, and so she figured out a way to go through Belgium and all this. But I'm saying that's a supportive bookstore like that
mm-hmm.
can be the sort of the matrix for a whole movement.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, obviously this is not one of those, but I'm saying that, You can really inspire people.
Yeah.
You don't, there's too much in America. There's too much consumer kind of marketing, and so the companies will, the retailers will actually target a certain demographic, and they'll
yeah.
say, oh, well, we'll develop this product.
Yeah, with the Kindles and everything.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll tailor, we'll make people want this product,
yeah.
And they're brilliant at that. But that's different from just letting people kind of create their own, movement or... In other words, we're more a good bookstore is more responsive to what people want
yeah.
rather than pushing something on them that
and saying this is what you want.
You've decided,
yeah
it's what you want.
Yeah, there's just something special about opening a book
yeah.
and reading it rather than just touching your iPad to swipe to the next page. Did you, go to a lot of bookstores when you were a child and, growing
oh, yeah.
up?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
I think think it starts when you're young, you know, if your family has a love of books, yeah. You know, they can impart that to you. And I was fortunate in that they did, yeah. You know, and not in a snobby way or like a collector way. Yeah. I still am kind of uncomfortable with collectors. I don't really, that's not really where I'm,
yeah.
Where I am. Because I think, unfortunately, they have driven up the prices of mm-hmm. a lot of books that are really important to scholars yeah. and to students. And they've said, oh, this is first edition, and this has the dust jacket, and this and that and the other.
Never thought about that.
And they never opened it up. They don't even yeah. know what it's about.
They just have it there and say, I have this.
Well, they just, some auction or somebody has decided this is valuable.
What's your favorite memory about mermaid books and like owning it so far?
Well, I've had a lot of really great memories. I think one of the best memories was there was this little boy. He was about 9 years old, and he came in the store one. He came in the store like January of 1 year, and he came up to the counter and he handed me this envelope with like, I can't remember, it was like $19 in it, and I said, oh, you know what's, or he said, no, he came up to the counter and he said, Are you the owner of this store? And I said, yes, how can I help you? And he pulls out this envelope. And I said, well, what is this for? And he said, I was in here a year ago, and I reached for a book, and I broke some piece of glassware. Yeah. And he said, so I've worked all year long and saved up my allowances.
Oh.
Pay you back for it.
That's amazing.
And I said, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was okay. There's so many things cluttered up in here, and it was an accident. And,
yeah.
And he goes, that's what you told me last year, but I want you to have this money.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And it's just like,
yeah. That was so sweet.
Really
of that kid. Like, he
yeah.
just ran away and, like, not
right,
done anything
right.
about
I mean,
it.
But
the fact
what a
that,
great character
yeah.
that was. And I tried to. I mean, it's funny because you don't want to give him like a reward for
yeah.
doing the right thing. You know, you just.
Yeah, you just understand that.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
You just want to thank him for
yeah.
doing that.
That's awesome that he was like that honest and like worked for
yeah.
a year to
yeah.
do that. So why, like, after opening Mermaid Books, like, what do you think is, like, the best part of, like, owning a bookstore? Is it just, like, having all these books around you and all this history and seeing people coming and enjoying it? Or is it...
Well, that's definitely good.
Yeah.
But the way I look at it is this store is full of millions of stories, you know, not only in the books... But every day, if you worked at a bookstore or you just hung around, you hear all these stories from people.
Yeah.
Stories from people from all over, you know, from Japan and England and, you know, and Africa. And they come in and they tell you these amazing things, and they're looking for something that they've never, you know, or stories from somebody who... Their grandmother read them some book
mm-hmm.
back in Ohio when they were little, and they've been looking all their life for another copy, and
oh, wow.
and
yeah.
you might have it, or the I had a mom come in who her daughter was getting married,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted this cookbook, this you know
yeah.
one of these old cookbooks, and she said, "I'm giving this to my daughter because." my mother gave it to me.
That's awesome.
So she got her a copy, see. And probably just to like, have that, yeah. To be able to give them, I mean, sell yeah. them to them.
And, like, I'm sure the daughter is, like, so ecstatic about the whole right. thing. That's yeah, really and, awesome.
But the other thing, so stories run through the whole store, but also, I mean, the stories that people bring you, but also, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of times somebody will come in and their relative has just died, their parents mm-hmm. have just died, and they've left them all these books and they don't know what to do, or they've, their husband's died, and, you know, it's like, so you're helping them
yeah.
kind of sort through that and getting, you're taking the books and getting them to a new home where somebody else can use them.
This is my last question for you.
Uh-oh.
But what do you, like, want mermaid books to be known as in the future? And, like, what do you want people to think about when they think about mermaid books?
It's another good one. Well, I think it goes back to what we were saying about, I mean, I want it to be known as a place where there are things you can't find anywhere else that are unique. And Colonial Williamsburg is unique in itself.
Yeah.
Even outside of Colonial Williamsburg, Williamsburg is unique mm-hmm. in itself. It's a great little town.
Yeah, it's been awesome to grow up here.
Yeah, and there's so many memories are built here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people, you know, a lot of the students who come to William & Mary, I don't know if that's a...
Yeah.
But a lot of students who come here to study at William & Mary got the inspiration when they were little six-year-olds, mm-hmm. brought here by their parents,
yeah.
and they, you know, walked Duke of Gloucester and yeah. got into the whole thing.
It's such a beautiful town.
And
so
suddenly
much
when they're in the, you know, when they're looking through online catalogs mm-hmm. or whatever you all do, you know, that just, it clicked that, yeah. oh, wow, yeah, Williamsburg, you know. And so that's, you want, anybody who walks in the store, they're not a customer to me, they're a visitor. And they're coming, and it's just like, you're welcoming them into your world, you know. And you want them to, you want it to be a place of, like, solace and peace, and maybe they'll find something that'll really help them in their journeys, you know.
Awesome. That's a good reason, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're
I really
so
appreciate
welcome.
It.